Good morning, everybody. We're glad to have y'all here with us this morning. Will y'all please stand as we open up our worship this morning and worship our God.
Our God is healer, awesome in power.
God this morning. Amen. Praise Him. He is greater than anything in this world, anything in your life. God is in control of it all. Will you bow your heads? We open up the word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you and praise you that you chose us and you are our God. We are here this morning to praise and worship your holy name, Lord. And Lord, as we worship you, God, I ask anointing of your Holy Spirit to be with us upon everything that we say and do, God, that we bring glory and honor to you, God, because that's why we're here this morning, God. And we're also here to hear from you, to hear your holy word preached to us this morning from Pastor Rich, God. I pray the anointing of your Holy Spirit be upon him and speak powerfully through him to us, God. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
West Virginia Southern Baptist Disaster Relief Volunteers. Thank you. Thank you for showing up when life falls apart. Thank you for the early mornings, the long drives, the cleanups, the meals, the prayers, the listening ears, and the quiet moments when you simply sit with someone who is hurting. You know, you remind people that they are not forgotten. You bring help, hope, and healing in Jesus' name, and through your service, people see the compassion of Christ in some of their hardest moments.
Just appreciate all the work that you do, minister to folks, sharing with them, especially in their time of need, taking care of their physical needs, but having the opportunity to share Christ to meet their ultimate need. Thank you for the work that you do.
Quiero agradecer a la Convención Bautista de Virginia.
We thank the Baptist Convention of West Virginia, Southern Baptist Convention of West Virginia.
Y a cada uno de los voluntarios que fueron a visitar a Perú.
And all the volunteers that have gone to visit Peru. And thank you because of you guys, we have Peruvian Baptist brothers and sisters who are beginning to be trained to minister to people through disaster relief. So thank you so much for the work you're doing here and all over the world.
Thank you, West Virginia Southern Baptist Disaster Relief. You guys are always there when people are hurting or in crisis. God bless you.
I want to say thank you to all of our West Virginia Disaster Relief volunteers and all the work that you do to help us make Jesus known in and through West Virginia. And if you want to volunteer and haven't been trained yet, I would encourage you to go to our website, find one of our trainings, sign up so that you can also be a part of our family on mission.
I know the work is not easy, but it matters. Lives are touched, needs are met, and the gospel is shared. But there's room for more. Go to wvcsb.org/events and find a disaster relief training near you. Let's keep being a family on mission, making Jesus known in and through West Virginia Southern Baptist Disaster Relief.
$6,065. Yeah. Also, please look at your book.
All right. Thank you, Larry. All right, will y'all please stand. You know, this week I was thinking a whole lot about God, his forgiveness of my sins and our sins, and Jesus, his son, who gave himself for that forgiveness.
Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. What love could remember no wrongs we have done? Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea with no bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. So tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakness, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness. He's lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood neath the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.
Amen. I am so thankful that God showed mercy on me. And I've been thinking about that this past couple weeks, actually. And an old song kept coming back to my mind. I couldn't get it out of my mind. And my wife told me, she says, Mike, you're going to play it, aren't you? I said, yep. And we've not ever played this as a band with you guys. But I'm sure you're going to know it because we love Jesus so much. Music in my ears, the sweet.
pray with me. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day, for your love and your mercy and your grace. And God, we thank you so much for the love that you have for us. God, that we can stand here and we can sing and shout how much we love you. God, we take this moment to just ask for you to continue to bless us, that you continue to protect us. And Lord, as we take our tithes and offerings, Lord, that we give with a joyful heart, that we give not because we have to give, God, but because we want to give to you, that we want to bring your kingdom more glory, more honor. Lord, I pray that as we do this, that God, we do this joyfully as a piece of our worship service today. God, I pray that as we do this, we also ask that your Holy Spirit reign upon this place today, that we are filled with your Spirit. We are filled with your excitement, your joy, your peace, and your love. Lord, everything we say and everything we do, it brings you glory. We say all of these things in your gracious and most wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning, Open Door. How's everybody doing today? Good. Well, Larry, we know you, sir. Definitely everybody continue to pray for Pastor Larry as his voice is starting to go, and sounds like he's getting a little bit more sick as he goes through the day. And also, wisdom, keep 6 feet away from him probably today as well. Church, today is a big moment, and it's a moment we get to all share. It's a moment where we get to celebrate those who have graduated from their high school career. And as the youth pastor, I got to tell you, this is a hard day for me every year this comes around. And it's hard because, you know, I spend 6 years with these students where I teach them, and I coach them, and I develop them, and I train them. And I spend time caring about them, and I spend time investing into their lives, and I get to know them and everything that they do and all that they care to do and all they love to do and all the different fun that goes along with that. And they graduate, and it's awesome. It's exciting. And just like you guys, we get to see that, and we get to celebrate in that. But honestly, it's sad, too. It's even sadder this year over years in the past. Not that I haven't had those same years to spend with those students, but this set of students is a little bit different in that this set of students, quite literally, I have watched them grow up. Because this crazy thing happened where 18 years ago, Cynthia and I got married, and then these students started being born in that same general time frame. And so most of these students, I have quite literally watched from the moment they were born to the moment that they graduate. And it is an exciting moment, but it's a bittersweet moment as well. It's bittersweet because I've watched as these students who are innocent and kind and small have grown up to become these adults that I've grown to know and love. And they also have grown up to become like us, where they go into the world And now they get to see how crazy and evil the world really is without some of the protections that we have provided for them as parents and leaders for all of these years. So it's bittersweet in that, but it is a moment that we celebrate nonetheless. Because, church, these students have gone 13 years plus for some of them, right? Maybe you did a couple extra years of preschool, but they've gone at least 13 years to school where they've been in classrooms learning. Now, I'm not a math major, but for some quick mathematic equations for you, they've probably spent around 2,340 days of actual learning as a student over the course of their lifetime. I know, that sounds like a lot, but you got to also understand that in those days of learning, give or take, because, you know, West Virginia cancels school a lot, they've had approximately 6.5 hours that they're in classrooms each one of those days. Don't worry, I'm doing the math. I'm not going to ask you to do it, but it's about 15,210 hours in school. For those of you who are teachers, I'm sorry, because you guys each have more as well, right? But the reality is that's a lot of time that they've invested into learning up until this point. And that's not even counting extracurriculars, which, Danica, that's not too many hours you do the extracurriculars, right? Ronnie, no? No? Come on. Yeah, pleading the fifth is probably better in those cases. Because the extracurriculars may add anywhere from 2 to 5 additional hours per day. For my band moms out there, how many hours did you spend having to go back and forth picking them up? How many sports games? Dan, lots of hours in the games, right? There's a lot of hours that the schools have taken their time that they've invested into these places. And the thing is, this is just the beginning. Because as impressive as all of that time is, they've spent this time learning mathematics, English, some basics that come along with their everyday life, science and social studies. Sometimes they get some extracurricular classes where they might learn robotics, or they might learn coding, or they might learn bits and pieces throughout the years now, but they learn the basics to just begin in their adult lives. They get tested on these subjects, and because each one of these students has passed, they're now past the finish line, they've gotten their diplomas, and they are officially joining us in the adult world now. And if that wasn't enough to celebrate, not only did they cross the line, they've done it at a point now where they get to enter the world as full-fledged adults, just the same as you or I. So it's moments like these that I can't help but stop and reflect. These students are all very close to my heart because I've grown to not just watch them as they've aged and grown up and get to watch them as they come up through the church, but I've also gotten to build relationships with them over the years where they become like parts of my family, not just parts of yours. And I say that as somebody who not just spends time with the students, I say that as somebody who takes time to pastor these students, to shepherd them. Ronnie, stop crying because you're going to make me cry, all right? This round of students, these young men and women, as they are now entering their adult years, they are doing something different. They are doing something that you all have to do on a daily basis. They're now entering the point of lives where they make all the decisions for themselves. And that may not feel like a big deal if you've been doing that for 30 or 40 years outside of high school. But for most of them, this is a big moment. It's a big day. And I think that it's important to share with them some wisdom that comes out of God's Word. Today, I want to share a verse that I tend to reflect on when I think about our walk as believers. So if you have your phones, your Bibles, your scrolls, or whatever you choose to use, we're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to read some passage out of that. As you're doing that, let me pray. God, thank you for this. Thank you for these students. Thank you for the privilege and honor that it is to teach them, to train them, to lead them. God, for the relationship that I have been blessed with to have with these students, because God, I just love these guys. I love watching them grow up, and I look forward to watching the future that unfolds for them. But most of all, Lord, I love that you have given them a heart for you. And God, I just pray that they chase after you, that they run after you with their entire lives for everything that they are. God, I pray that as we study your word today, that you give us an understanding, that you give us excitement and a challenge, and that, Lord, that we can see this, we can use this, and that we can grow from this. God, I pray all of this in your most wonderful name. Amen. So if you're there, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 15 is what we're going to get into today, but it starts off like this. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And I have to stop right off the bat, because who has divine power? Who has divine power? God. God has divine power. And crazy thing, but it says that he's given us what? Everything. God has divine power, and he has given us everything that we need for a godly life through him, through our knowledge of him, who's called us for his own glory and goodness. I feel like sometimes that when you read a certain verse, sometimes I honestly feel like I could just stop right here and just be done and say, you got it. This is all you need. That is not this type of sermon. But there are days like that that I think about, because this is fairly easy and simple. It is so complex. We have the God of the universe that created everything. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God literally created it all. He built it all, started it all. He has all the power in the universe, and he gives us exactly what we need to be able to live a godly life. I mean, we're just talking about the basics here, but guys, look at it. He literally gave it to us as it is. And then he keeps going in verse 4 here. It reads, through these he has given us his great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. All right. The things that God has provided, he allows us to grow towards him because he cares for us, because he loves us, he's given us everything. We can participate in him. We can be with him. And this amazing thing, church, we can escape the corruption of the world. For my students in the room, as you go into the world now as adults, you'll see the corruption. You've seen it already in bits and pieces in your life, and you're only going to see it more as you realize that the world out there is corrupted. We live in a fallen world that is not good. It might smell good, It might even sound good. It is not good. God has given us an ability to get out of that. He's quite literally given us the ability to participate in nature and being able to escape the corruption of the world that's caused by evil desires. And then we see verse 5. So because God's given us this, we need to be with him. He's done this so we can avoid this. In verse 5, it's this. For this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. I want to stop right there for just a second, because this is my first point for you guys today, which is this. There are three practical applications for the Christian walk. Whether you are a believer that has been a believer for 100 years, whether you are a brand new believer, whether you are a senior in high school or a senior in a nursing home, this applies to every one of us. There are three basic applications, three practical applications of our Christian walk that I want to share with you guys today. Number one is my first and foremost, most important one I want to point out, which is this: make an effort. What's he saying in this verse? He says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith. High school is considered easy for some. Listen, I'm not going to deny, when I was in high school, I really didn't try very hard. I didn't have to. It just came natural to me. Schoolwork, assignments, writing pages, writing papers, it was a natural thing. I just did it. That came to bite me in the butt later in life when I realized that I didn't know everything. It's okay. Students, you might get there too. You get to that point where everything is easy and then it's just not. And maybe high school was very hard for you, but the reality is we have to make an effort in our Christian walk. We have to make an effort in our faith. That means we have to step out and do something. And listen, to each one of us, that's something different. When we look at this verse, he's talking about, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith these characteristics. This making an effort point here that I highlight this because we have to make efforts in our life regardless. No matter what point of your faith you're at, you have to keep working at it. It is not a, hey, I'm saved and you're done. Be easy if it was. But this makes it very clear that it's not just about being easy. It's about growing. It's about taking that next step. It's about practically growing in our lives. And the thing is, that means you learn new things every day. Listen, I will tell you, we learn new things every day. Sometimes it's new ways to do the same things. Sometimes it's new ways to not make the same mistakes. Sometimes it's new ways to say the same thing that we've been thinking all along. Our faith is something that we have to continue to work on. How you work on it is different for every one of you. See, maybe you're somebody who you just naturally come into knowledge and wisdom. You just naturally, God has blessed you with that skill set. And that's awesome. More power to you. If you're one of those people that just naturally just soaks stuff in, man, enjoy that blessing. But here's the thing with your faith, that means you got to get out there and you got to be there for other people, and you have to make an effort to connect with other people. Maybe your faith is, you just don't understand it easily, it doesn't come natural to you. Maybe you're the person who's got to get into a Bible study, you got to get in with other people, you have to connect with people. Those are both efforts that we have to get into. But here's the thing, our growing our faith, our connecting to our faith here, we have to add these characteristics into our faith. We have to add things like goodness. So let me share some verses that we talk about when it comes to adding some of these characteristics. The first characteristic references goodness. In Matthew 5:16, it says, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So here's the thing with goodness. The people around the world seeing your goodness, that's great. But it's not the priority. God, glorifying God is the priority. Let them see that you're glorifying God, that you're not doing it just for the attention. When it comes to knowledge, we can look to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, where it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." This verse right here is probably the most challenging verse I can give you if you don't think about, if you don't want to be taught, if you don't want to learn more about the Word. I would challenge you with Proverbs 1:7 because I got to tell you, knowledge of the Lord and a fear of the Lord is the beginning of that knowledge, but knowledge of the Lord is important for the growth of our faith, which means we got to get into the Word. We got to study the Word. We got to go to Bible studies. We got to learn more and more and more. He talks about self-control in Matthew 16:24, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." It's not just about what you want. In fact, I'm going to be very honest. Contrary to what the world tells you, it's not about your way. It's about His. Perseverance. In James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, it says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." Perseverance is keeping on. Keep going on. Keep pushing on. Godliness in 1 John 2:6, "Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did." Mutual affection. We can see in Romans chapter 12, verse 10, where it says, "Be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves and love." Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2 says, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved and gave Himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Verse 8, still here in 2 Peter, though, chapter 1 says, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now look, I'm just being very transparent here. Okay? When we look at the Word, not every one of us sits here and can go, "I understand what I just read." There are moments, there are times where you read a verse and you step and you go, "I don't know what I'm learning." And I'm going to be real and tell you, sometimes that happens to me too. Sometimes I have to sit and go, "God, what are you trying to tell me here?" Sometimes I have to go through notes and notes to try and figure it out. But I can tell you all that our objective is to grow in our faith. Our objective is to grow with the Lord. And it requires you to make an effort. Those pews are mildly comfy, depending on your opinion. Some people think chairs might be more comfortable, whatever, right? But if all you're ever doing is sitting in that pew, or sitting in a chair in a class, and you're not making any effort other than just sitting there, something is wrong. Seniors, you are in a new point of life. You have been taught, you have been trained, you have been pulled along on projects, you have been... Listen, we've done some crazy projects over the years, okay? Seniors, in your point in life now, you're not just supposed to be sitting in a pew anymore. Now, it's time for you to make an effort to continue to grow in your faith. I've spoon-fed you a lot of stuff. Now it's your turn. Church, if you still feel like you're being spoon-fed, you need to be looking at what efforts you can make to take that next step. The faith is not easy. And anybody who tells you just coming to the faith is going to solve all your problems is a liar. Be very clear. In fact, when we look back at that passage in James, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, the testing of your faith. It doesn't say if you are tested. It doesn't say possibly if it happens to you, one in 100 people. No, it says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when your faith is tested. That means, church, we're going to have bad days. Listen, not every day is going to be amazing. But one day is going to be great. I look at Matthew chapter 7, and I think about the passage where he says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. I can't help but point out that Jesus tells us outright it's going to be a tough road sometimes. But that's what effort takes. Effort requires you to give a little. When we look at the next passage, though, in 2 Peter 1:8, it says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. My second point I want to share with you guys, the second practical application for the Christian walk is we need to be fruitful. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. For the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. You know, when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, that's the characteristics that we as Christians should have, right? These are the fruit of our labor. And let's be very honest, not every single one of these fruits is going to be something you're amazing at all times. For those who know me very well, patience and gentleness are not really in my regular wheelhouse. I struggle with those sometimes. I might seem like a loving, joyful person most of the time, but patience is really not my my usual skill set. And listen, not every single one of us is amazing at every single characteristic here. Just like you guys, I'm a work in progress. I still have work to do. I'm not perfect yet, but I have all of the information to get there. And I know how to do it. And church, that's the part here that I have to share with you, is that we need to be fruitful. It's not just about making an effort. It's making an effort and then being fruitful within it. Are you growing? Are you changing in your life? Or are you the same as you were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 15 years ago? Students, as you are coming along this, you have a bright future ahead of you all. And the thing to look at is this. Do you want to be the same today that you're going to be in 10 years? Most of us even in the room today as adults, are going to say no. I want to be XYZ. I want to grow. I want to improve. For us in the faith, we need to be fruitful, and that starts with us looking at ourselves in the fruit of the Spirit. In what ways can we grow in those fruits? In what ways can we grow in making disciples? In what ways can we share and show others the way, the truth, and the life? We keep reading here in verse 9, it says, "But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. You will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." My third point for you guys is this: be confident in your faith. Verse 10 says, "For if you do these things, you will never stumble." Not being an English major, but understanding that we got to look at the verses ahead above that to figure out what that means. It means we got to look at verses 8 and 9. And we have to really look at all of this text again. "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure," this is verse 8, this will keep you from being useless or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the person who lacks these things is blind. So if you lack the fruit of the Spirit, then you're blind and short-sighted and have forgotten the cleansing from your past sins. Therefore, make every effort to confirm your calling, because when you confirm your calling, right? Because if you do these things, you will never stumble. See, here's the thing. We have to be confident in our faith. So how do you know that you know that you know? I look to a handful of passages that I share with you today. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." In Genesis 1:1, it says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right off the bat, I know these two things. I know that God has always existed, that He always will exist. And I know that He created everything. Seems pretty self-explanatory. I can prove that with the evidence of the world. I look around me and I can see all of the amazing things that God has done in my life, in the lives of the people around me. I can look at creation and see that God has created all of these incredible things. And then this is just a crazy minor idea, but think about DNA for just a second. And I'm not a scientist. I don't claim to be one. Occasionally I try to play one on TV. That didn't work very well. But listen, the truth is, scientists, as DNA, as we look at how complicated each one of us is when it comes down to our DNA, and then even more wild is every single one of us has an incredibly different amount of DNA, and each one of us is different even further on than that. And that none of those DNA strands look the same. You can't tell me that that all happened randomly. No, an intelligent designer created that. God created that, and He created everything as it was. He was there from the beginning, and He'll be there through the end. And then I find out in Romans chapter 3, where I see, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." This is a little hurtful for me, because I think I'm a pretty good person most of the time, but really, I'm not. And neither are you. See, we all have sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. Nobody is ever good enough, no matter how good you think you are. You know, I look over to my brother Nick, and Nick is a pretty great guy most of the time, but he is not that great, because even Nick, as nice and great as he is, see, I give you a compliment today, even as, shake your head at me, even as great as Nick is, there's nothing that Nick can do that will make him good enough to deserve heaven on his own standard or his own ability. Listen, and I pick on Nick because Nick is my brother, but look at somebody else you love, you respect, you know that they're amazing. You look at that person, and as much as that person's awesome, guys, they aren't good enough, because they too are sinners, for all have sinned. The wages of sin, this is Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. This verse right here, We are sinners. We are all sinners. We all deserve one thing. And ironically, it's the same thing that everybody, even in the secular side, will tell you. There are a couple things that are inevitable: death and taxes. God's word stands true in that. It tells you for the wages of your sin, because you are a sinner, your wage of your sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life is through Christ Jesus. Romans 5, verse 8 says, "But God showed us his love, for in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And Romans 10, 13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Despite the fact that you are a sinner, despite the fact that you will never do anything good enough to equal out to what God's love is, despite the fact that you can never be worthy of it, God still loves you, and he loves you so much that he was willing to die even while you were still a sinner. He was willing to die even knowing that you were going to be a sinner. And he does it knowing that everybody is welcome who calls on his name. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but will have eternal life." And Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." God loved the world so much, he gave his only Son. He sacrificed his Son. This precious gift that saves the entirety of the world. And all it takes is what? In Romans 10, he tells us. He tells us in Romans 10, 9 and 10, "Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with one heart, with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved." John 1:12, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come." We have the ability to confess that Christ is in our lives. We have the ability to confess and recognize what he's done in our lives, to recognize that he saved us from ourselves and from our sins. And even better yet, when we believe in him, he gave us the right to become children of God. He adopts us into his family. It's more than just you're a member or you're not a member. Listen, as believers, we're part of the family of God. I've taken a lot of students to a lot of places over the years, and one of my favorite adventures that we've partaken in, especially more recently, has been at a YEC, Youth Evangelism Conference. We were taking the children to Dunkin', and I think it was a Dunkin', Starbucks, something to the effect. We go every time. We have to go get coffee for these children. It's probably unwise, but we'll talk about that later. We took them, and somebody asked as we were letting all of the students in, they're like, "Are all these your kids?" Sure are. Don't feel old enough to have all of these kids, but sure, yeah, they sure are now. We're part of the family of God, church. He puts us as part of the family, and the thing is, that's not just for me. See, I needed that in my walk. When I came to salvation, I needed that because I didn't have a family that I felt like I belonged to. When I moved out here, I didn't feel like I belonged right off the bat because I didn't have a spot. It wasn't my family originally. But see, church, you opened up your arms to me. The Holden family opened up their arms to me because God in their lives decided to hold on to me, to care for me. I got to watch as people cared for somebody who didn't have any reason to be cared for. I know why my God is a real God. I know why He's a mighty God. Do you? Listen, as we reflect on these basic principles, as we talk about the faith, as we talk about the honest truth of being confident in our faith, I ask, how will you respond? Do you know why you believe? Was it all those verses and you're like, I'm good? Awesome. More power to you. But we each have a testimony. We each have the story of why we came to the faith. And each one of us has a different version of the story. Maybe your family was always involved in the church, and that's amazing. And a blessing from God. And honestly, a testimony that should be shared more than anything else, because there are families that are faithful. Maybe you came from a family that was rough, and your upbringing was tough, and you had a hard life. I get it. God will provide. And the craziest thing is, God has a plan for your future that you'll never fully understand. Trust me. Larry, amen. Amen. The thing is, no matter the why you believe, since you believe, you need to be looking and reflecting on whether you're being fruitful. What are you doing in the faith? And what efforts are you making? See, church, this message is for all of us, not just the students. But I want to share it with you guys for this reason. Because as we reflect, as we review, and as we celebrate, we want to do this with God in focus at all times. Now, I'm going to ask my seniors to come up from the 2026 year. Ronnie, Hunter, Danica, and Hunter. If I could have all four of you guys come on up to the stage here. Danica, Ronnie, Hunter. Guys, these are your 2026 seniors, and I want to congratulate them. A round of applause for them. You didn't cry. This is a moment to celebrate in their lives, but this is also a moment to challenge. Students, you've spent enough time with me, you know challenge is part of the everyday. So today, my challenge is this: stand firm in the faith, stand true in the faith, make an effort, be fruitful, and know why you believe. Church, that same statement applies to you. So, I'm going to take a moment here, and I'm going to ask if you would all bow your heads and pray. I'm going to pray over these students as they go through their future. If you would all pray with me. Gracious Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these students. I thank you for just every privilege and opportunity I've had to be with them, to teach them, to lead them, how to just be there for them. God, I thank you that, Lord, that doesn't stop. And I pray that, Lord, they never, ever think that they will. Because, God, I know that this is a home for them. That they are here and that they have family here. Because once you are a part of the family of God, there ain't no getting out. They have people that love them, that care for them, that will always be there for them, that will sit and listen to them. Whether they're right or wrong, we'll be here. Lord, I pray that these students, as they pursue you, that they pursue you in their futures, in their lives, that everything they do for your glory, for your honor. And that, Lord, that we as a church do the same thing. It is in your great name I pray. Amen? Amen. Guys, thank you. Another round of applause for our students. Yes, come on. Church, the call is to you. How do you? As the praise team comes forward, I pray that you think about that. That you consider what God is putting on your heart today. That you consider what God has for you to take or to grow today. Maybe you need a moment to do that at the altar. I'm here. Pastor Larry's here. We'll talk through that with you. Maybe you just need time to pray. The altar is open.
Thank you, Pastor Rich. We all please stand. And one thing, you know, as Richie was talking this morning and preaching, you know, our last song, for all you kids out there, the bridge goes, it's a new horizon and I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. And I think that's kind of what Richie was talking with you all about. As you start these new horizons, keep your mind and your focus on Jesus.
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, oh, I believe that you are my fortress, you are my portion, you are my hiding place. Oh, I believe you are the way, the truth, provider, you are protector, you are the one I love. Oh, I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. Oh, I believe you are. Set on you, and you meet me here today. Mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all come to, because they can't stay long when I'm here with you. It's a new horizon. I'm set on you. All come true because they can't stay long when I believe you are.
this week, stand strong, carry on. You are dismissed. Thank you all.
It's a new horizon. I'm set on you. And you meet me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts.